Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
It is a joy and a privilege to be here with you today, and especially to minister and share with you the word of the Lord. We're living in very dark and discouraging times. The believer feels the heat of the battle. The child of God knows the wrath of the devil and a God, Christ-defying world. And we have felt the antagonism that there is in this world. And for many believers, they need encouragement. And it is true. We're not saying we should wrap believers in cotton wool. We're not saying that we should shelter them from the world. We're in the world and we have to live for Christ in this world. But we do need to encourage one another. Barnabas was a good man. The Bible tells us, and his name and his very nature means son of consolation. And there are times whenever a pastor or a fellow believer has to come to another child of God and just put our arms around that individual and to lift them up and encourage them. And I can be sure that someday you'll need a helping hand. Someday you'll need someone to draw alongside and encourage your heart. Well, can I suggest to you that there are many texts of Scripture, and those texts are like Barnabas. They come alongside and they put their arms around you and they lift you up. They encourage your heart. And we have a text here in our reading today. I want you to turn in your Bible with me, please, to Galatians chapter 6. And we commence to read at the verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 then, and the verse 1. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 10. And we know the Lord will bless this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. Could we just bow briefly in prayer before we come to consider the word of the Lord? Father, we thank thee for our right of approach into thy most holy and sacred presence. We bless thee for our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We rejoice in Calvary and all that work on the cross means to us. We bless thee for the work of atonement that has satisfied the just demands of the legal law of God. We thank thee for that one great offering of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We rejoice in him who loved us and shed his blood and sacrificed himself for us. We bless thee that he who suffered, bled and died, rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. We thank thee he is at the right hand of the Father, and we're in union with him. We thank thee that we are righteous only because of the righteousness given over to our account. We stand complete in him, and as children of the Lord, those who are saved by grace, born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, we thank thee it is well. It is well with our soul. What a comfort it is today to have the word of God in our mother tongue. And as we have read thy word, as we come to consider it now, we humbly beseech thee for the help of God. Speak to our hearts, encourage our souls, and Father, in answer now to prayer, lift up the downcast. Give a word in season, O God, for those who are discouraged by the way, and for those of thine who belong to Christ and are the children of the Lord. We pray there'll be a word in season from the Lord to their heart. Hear and answer prayer now. We offer it with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. We'd like to draw your attention to some words of the Apostle Paul writing to believers at the church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, where he said, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The devil has many ways and means at his disposal to hinder the child of God and to frustrate the work of God. There's no doubt the devil is busy in these days. We're meeting with people who are saved by God's grace, born again of God's Spirit, true children of God, and they're suffering the oppression of the devil. And they certainly are discouraged by the way. And the devil has many means at his disposal. He uses a lot of means to discourage the heart of God's dear people. He uses division, for instance, and he loves to divide the church. He loves to set believer against believer, brother against brother, and sister against sister. He likes to divide the home. And you can imagine when the devil gets into a church and the devil gets into a home or even to an individual heart, and there's that bitter spirit, that critical spirit, it's not long before that begins to fester like a cancer. And the devil loves to divide. The old saying goes, you divide to conquer. And how true that is in the work of the devil among the people of God. And he loves to divide. He brings division. Furthermore, he brings defilement. I know the devil cannot make a believer sin, but the devil tempts us. And we are individuals who give in to temptation at times, and we can bring sin into the camp. I don't believe an unsaved person, an ungodly person, a sinner coming into the meeting, would ever halt the blessing of God. But the child of God can. And you imagine whenever in the days of Moses, when Achan sinned with the accursed thing, Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses. You got to remember that the camp halted for 7 days while they dealt with that sin. You think of the children of Israel going for 40 years in the wilderness, and it was because of their unbelief, sin in the camp, that caused the children of Israel to stop coming into the promised land. So you can remember that the devil uses defilement. He uses division. Furthermore, discredit. If the devil can discredit the assembly of God's people, it can cause a scandal, bring in someone who's guilty of fraud or some gross immoral act. You can imagine what damage that does in society whenever the community no longer wants to go to that church because its members are living in sin or they've been caught up in scandal. And the devil would love to divide churches and defile churches, and he would love to discredit them. Remember, he's always working against the church of Christ and you and I as believers. He not only uses division and defilement and discredit, but what about distractions? These things are legitimate. These things are simply put before the Lord. And the devil no doubt wastes no time when he sees a believer in a legitimate pursuit to encourage that believer to miss out on the prayer meeting, to miss out on outreach and different things. And they're healthy things, they're good things. But the devil can use them and he can exploit them to his end, whereby he would bring a child of God to other things rather than seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What about doubt? The devil, no doubt, in Genesis chapter 3 was the means that he used. He caused Adam and Eve to doubt the word of God. We have believers today who no longer feel the need to pray because they don't believe God's going to answer prayer. They don't believe revival's going to come. They don't believe that some of their family members will ever be saved, simply because their hearts are full of unbelief. Was that not the sin of the spies when they returned? Those spies had brought the evil report. Was it not a case that at Nazareth the Lord said he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief? Now, I know the devil has many means, and we could elaborate on them. But could I suggest to you as a child of God that the devil has one useful implement in his weaponry, whereby he can reach a heart and a home and a church family that otherwise is inaccessible, and that is discouragement. The devil loves to knock God's people about, to discourage their heart. And when a believer loses heart, then they lose the will to go on with God. And I believe as a pastor I could minister to all of those things on that list I gave you in my introduction. But there's one difficulty that I find near impossible: to lift a believer who's lost heart. Someone who is so discouraged, so downcast, they have lost heart, they have lost literally the will to go on with God. And I believe by far the most useful implement the devil has is called discouragement. Any wonder the Bible is full of promises to persevere, to keep going on with the Lord, and to stay by the stuff. Even Paul writing to the church at Corinth, which had all of these problems, division, doubt, discredit, all of those problems. And yet Paul was able to say to them that they were to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. So God's answer in his word to discouragement in the heart of a child of God, a believer, someone saved by God's grace, is to press on and to keep at the work and to be instant in season, out of season. And furthermore, to persevere, to keep faith in God and to hold on to those mighty promises in the word. Such a promise we have here in Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The text, I believe, is a helping hand to the downcast believer. It's something you can anchor your faith in the storms of life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the following from this wonderful promise from God. There is the danger of discouragement. Let us not be weary in well-doing. It's interesting that the word weary literally means to lose heart. That's exactly what that word means. And when you think about well-doing, it suggests or it implies that we have to labour, we have to strive, we have to work hard. Let us not be weary in well-doing. It means continual effort, literally going on with God despite the hardships and the difficulties and all of the problems that we face. Discouragement will cause us to quit before we actually reach our goal. I read a very interesting and yet inspiring illustration on this very subject. It came from the life of a lady called Florence Chadwick. Florence Chadwick was the first woman ever to swim the English Channel in both directions. She attempted on the 4th of July 1951 to swim from the Catalina Island to the Californian coast. To make matters worse and to complicate the swim, a dense fog had settled over the sea. She could hardly see a few feet in front of her. She was 15 hours in the water. Now think of it, 15 hours in the water. And eventually she couldn't see a few feet in front of her. And she called out to those in the boat beside her to take her on board because she was so exhausted. She didn't know that she had only half a mile to go to finish from the Catalina Island to the Californian coast. The reporters who saw her said to her, "Florence, what happened?" And here's what she said: "If I could only have seen land, I would have made it. If I only could have seen land, I would have made it." She recovered fully and she attempted again on the second attempt. Florence Chadwick became the first woman to swim from the Catalina Island to the Californian coast. And maybe, child of God, that's how you have felt in the work of the Lord. If you only could have seen land, you would have kept going. If God had answered some more of your prayers, you would have been motivated to get to the prayer meeting more often. If you can only see one little soul saved in the children's work you were involved in, you would have kept at it and not quit or thrown in the towel or have thoughts about not going back or so irregular in your attendance. If you can only see one little child or young person influenced in the Sunday school class or in the outreach that you've been doing or in the youth work you're involved in, just one, it would have been meant all the difference. If you could only have seen land, you would have finished." And how true that is. Perhaps you're downhearted. You've lost heart. One setback after another, one knock after another, and it just seems you've just been knocked from pillar to post, and there's very little by way of tokens for good or encouragement. You know, the devil wants you to lose heart. And I suggest to you tonight that many of God's people feel like that. But here's a helping hand for you. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart, child of God. Don't focus on your difficulties and your trials and your problems and your so-called no answers to prayer or no tokens for good. You keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not only do we see the danger of discouragement, I want you to think about the folly of fainting. Look what it says here in the second place. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now there's an interesting word. That word literally means to loosen or to relax your grip. So in the first word, weary, it means to lose heart. But in the second word, faint, it literally means to let go, to loosen your grip. And it's usually, in a sense, used of the archer. He has the bow. And if the bowstring is not tight, if it's not doesn't have that tension, it's useless, it's not effective. That's exactly what that word refers to, the tension that's on a bowstring. The archer cannot direct the arrow, and he is of no use whatsoever if the bowstring is not tight. It has to have that tension. And if it's relaxed and it's loose, he is absolutely useless in using that bow. It can be used as well in the human sphere. When we think about exhaustion, when we think about individuals who are weary, those who are tired, it's often used of becoming physically exhausted, literally weakened either through hunger or from exhausting labour. And I'm sure as a child of God, that's how you felt. The going isn't easy today. It's hard to keep the ground and hold fast doctrinally, evangelistically, morally, when many others are caving in, giving in. It's very hard to hold the line. And then many are against you today. Society has changed. We do not have a church-going society, a God-fearing society. It seems that they're atheistic and humanistic, and they have little time for God, little time for Christ, little time for the Bible, and certainly no time for the child of God. And yet the Bible says we're not to lose heart and we're not to let go. And how true that is. It's as if you're grasping on and you're holding tight for the Lord, and the Lord's saying to you, don't you let go. Don't you give in, and don't you release your grip. That's literally what the verse means here. And it tells us, do not be weary in well-doing, and do not let go or release your grip. Today, we would call it burnout. People burn themselves out for the Lord. I don't think that's what the Lord wants for his children, to burn ourselves out. And I know we would desire to spend and be spent in publishing the Sinner's Friend, exalting Christ and living our lives to the full for the glory of God. But one reason Christians get exhausted if they're truly in the work with a true heart serving Christ is that there's no date of completion. We can't say, well, that's it. We have finished the work the Lord has given me to do. If that is the case, he takes you home to heaven. But we must keep going, and we must pace ourselves. We're in a race. The Bible speaks about that, and we're running. And you don't start the race at 100 miles an hour. You will literally never finish. You have to pace yourself. And remember, the reason why we do get exhausted is it's continual. We need to continually pray, need to continually read our Bibles, need to continually work at sanctification and holiness. We need to continually evangelize. And even though we cast the net and pull no fish in, cast the hook and we get nothing, we've got to go again and again and again. So it's continual. And the problem is this, that many of God's people are relaxing their grip and they're losing heart. Another reason I feel for what we call burnout or spiritual exhaustion is that the word good or well-doing, it literally implies that there's an urgency about it. And I think if you look at your Bible, that there is here that very thought. The word opportunity in verse 10 that we read and the word season in verse 9 is the same word. So in due season, when there's time, when there's opportunity, you must seize that moment. So Christians have to be in a state of readiness that when the moment comes, grasp it and then serve the Lord. I do believe there's a limited amount of time and a decisive period that you and I need to grasp. The implication is literally this, that we must seize the opportunity given to us and do the good for the Lord and labour for Christ. To avoid fainting, it's important the child of God has time for rest. Some say that the devil never rests, neither should the Christian. But the Lord took his disciples apart and he called them to rest a little while. And it is true that people who are tired, people who are exhausted, they're prone to make mistakes. They're individuals who will not do everything right. And there is a difficulty there. People who are emotionally, physically or spiritually burning themselves out, literally burning the candle at both ends, are individuals that you will find that are of no real use for the Lord. Someone said one time to me, I would rather burn out than rust out. But I'll tell you this, that's not good theology. Because either way you're out. You've either burnt out or you're rusting out. But God wants you in. And he wants you to pace yourself. And how true that is. The problem is, many of God's people try to do their life's work in a very short space of time. And yet we've got to be patient. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. So we have to be patient, and we've got to pace ourselves. So there is the danger of discouragement, and there is the folly of fainting. But one last thought, thirdly, and there is the reality of reaping. In due season, we shall reap. What a wonderful promise for the child of God. No matter how discouraging it looks around you, no matter how downhearted you have become, and maybe this is a word for you tonight, and this is a word in season for you just now. Well, here's a word from God. We shall reap. And there's no uncertainty about that. Just as in the natural harvest when you sow, so in the spiritual, when you sow to the Spirit, you will reap. The Bible makes it clear. A wonderful promise from God. In due season reminds us that there is a relationship between seed time and harvest, and there has to be a sowing time. There has to be the cultivating of the Christian's life and sanctification. There has to be a sowing of the seed in the work of God, but there has to be a patient waiting for the harvest. And if we become weary, or if we faint, that is, if we lose heart, or if we let go, we will miss the harvest of the good. Who knows, but only God in eternity will reveal to us how much of the harvest we lost because we lost heart or we let go. Persevering comes from the sure knowledge that God will keep his word. The time of harvest will arrive, and therefore our labor is not in vain. Did Paul not tell the church at Corinth to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Why? For as much as ye know, and we ought to know this, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And child of God, praying is not a vain exercise. Reading your Bible, acquainting yourself with the ways of Christ, following the Lord fully, loving Christ with all your heart, sharing Christ with your fellow man, witnessing for Christ, loving your fellow man and loving God and loving your family, witnessing for Christ, growing in grace, all of these things will reap a beautiful and bountiful harvest. There is a need to persevere in the sowing of the good seed. Let us not become. And that's what the word literally means. It's a process. Let us not become weary. Get to the point where we lose heart and we let go. You know the illustration from Luke chapter 9 of the plough and the plower going out. And he puts his hand to the plough and he doesn't look back. That literally means he doesn't let go. He doesn't quit. In June 1955, Sir Winston Churchill, who was near the end of his life, he was asked to give a commencement address at a British university. At this time, he was physically infirm, and he had to be helped to the podium. He could hardly even walk or stand up at the podium. And then he held on to the podium for what seemed to be an endless time. He stood with his head bowed, and finally he looked up to those young students. And the voice that years before had called our nation from the brink of destruction sounded publicly for the last time in history. And he said this, I quote, "Never give up. Never give up. Never give up." Unquote. With that, Winston Churchill sat down and went back to his seat. There was silence. And then, as if one person, the whole auditorium rose to applaud a man whose life had now matched his words.
And in the work of God, child of God, the Lord has a word for you. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. That's exactly what that text says. Let us never give up in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be steadfast, never give up, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And in Christ's glad service, it's never time to quit. We don't clock in and clock out. We are in that service until the Lord comes or he calls us home. But pace yourself. Take time to rest. Feed your own soul on the Word of God. Refresh your spiritual life by meditation on Christ. Read his Word. Seek his face. Desire his will. And when you find it, do it with all of your heart. But don't go ahead of the Lord. Don't try to do too much so that you're burnt out, and neither too little so that you are beginning to rust out. But don't be weary. Don't lose heart. Don't let go. But trust the Lord to guide and direct you. And whenever you are tempted to do less than your best, or perhaps even you feel like quitting, remember the text of Scripture today. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Lord write his word on all of our hearts today, and may it be as an anchor to the soul, fastening your life to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and encouraging you to keep going and to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's bow briefly in prayer, please. Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the comfort of thy word. We rejoice in the encouragement we receive from it. We thank thee that this is the word of the Lord. And we thank thee for speaking to us. And we pray now thou wouldst back the word home, burn it in, and bless it to every heart. Receive of our thanks, O God, for a word like this and days like these. And we pray, Lord, we may be obedient to the word. We may meditate upon it. We may even leave this very meeting knowing that we can prayerfully consider it and know solemnly the truth of this word to our hearts. Encourage our hearts in these days. Bless thy blood-bought children, Lord Jesus Christ, and glorify thy name through the church, and encourage every downcast believer, and lift them up and encourage their heart. For we offer prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. The people of God said, Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.